6. At other times it comes to pass that the devil is occasionally able to see certain favors which God is pleased to grant the soul, when they are bestowed upon it by the mediation of a good angel. For of those favors which come through a good angel, God habitually allows the enemy to have knowledge, partly so that he may do that which he can against them according to the measure of justice, and that thus he may not be able to allege with truth that no opportunity is given him for conquering the soul, as he said concerning Job 287. This would be the case if God allowed not a certain equality between the two warriors, namely, the good angel and the bad, when they strive for the soul, so that the victory of either may be of the greater worth, and the soul that is victorious and faithful in temptation may be the more abundantly rewarded. 7. We must observe, therefore, that it is for this reason that, in proportion as God is guiding the soul and communing with it, he gives the devil leave to act with it after this manner. When the soul has genuine visions by the instrumentality of the good angel, for it is by this instrumentality that they habitually come, even though Christ reveal himself, for he scarcely ever appears 288 in his actual person, God also gives the wicked angel leave to present to the soul false visions of this very type, in such a way that the soul which is not cautious may easily be deceived by their outward appearance, as many souls have been. Of this there is a figure in Exodus 289, where it is said that all the genuine signs that Moses wrought were wrought likewise in appearance by the magicians of Pharaoh. If he brought forth frogs, they brought them forth likewise. If he turned water into blood, they did the same. 8. And not only does the evil one imitate God in this type of bodily vision, but he also imitates and interferes in spiritual communications which come through the instrumentality of an angel, when he succeeds in seeing them, as we say, for as Job said, 290 omni sublime videt. These, however, as they are without form and figure, for it is the nature of spirit to have no such thing, he cannot imitate and counterfeit like those others which are presented under some species or figure, and thus, in order to attack the soul, in the same way as that wherein it is being visited, his fearful spirit presents a similar vision in order to attack and destroy spiritual things by spiritual. When this comes to pass, just as the good angel is about to communicate spiritual contemplation to the soul, it is impossible for the soul to shelter itself in the secrecy and hiding place of contemplation with sufficient rapidity not to be observed by the devil, and thus he appears to it and produces a certain horror and perturbation of spirit, which at times is most distressing to the soul. Sometimes the soul can speedily free itself from him, so that there is no opportunity for the aforementioned horror of the evil spirit to make an impression on it, and it becomes recollected within itself, being favored to this end by the effectual spiritual grace that the good angel then communicates to it. 9. At other times the devil prevails and encompasses the soul with a perturbation and horror which is a greater affliction to it than any torment in this life could be. For, as this horrible communication passes direct from spirit to spirit, in something like nakedness and clearly distinguished from all that is corporeal, it is grievous beyond what every sense can feel. And this lasts in the spirit for some time, yet not for long, for otherwise the spirit would be driven forth from the flesh by the vehement communication of the other spirit. Afterwards there remains to it the memory thereof, which is sufficient to cause it great affliction. 10. All that we have here described comes to pass in the soul passively, without its doing or undoing anything of itself with respect to it. But in this connection it must be known that, when the good angel permits the devil to gain this advantage of assailing the soul with this spiritual horror, he does it to purify the soul and to prepare it by means of this spiritual vigil for some great spiritual favor and festival which he desires to grant it, for he never mortifies save to give life, nor humbles save to exalt, which comes to pass shortly afterwards. Then, according as was the dark and horrible purgation which the soul suffered, so is the fruition now granted it of a wondrous and delectable spiritual contemplation, sometimes so lofty that there is no language to describe it. But the spirit has been greatly refined by the preceding horror of the evil spirit, in order that it may be able to receive this blessing. For these spiritual visions belong to the next life rather than to this, and when one of them is seen, this is a preparation for the next. 11. This is to be understood with respect to occasions when God visits the soul by the instrumentality of a good angel, wherein, as has been said, the soul is not so totally in darkness and in concealment that the enemy cannot come within reach of it. But when God himself visits it, then the words of this line are indeed fulfilled, and it is in total darkness and in concealment from the enemy that the soul receives these spiritual favors of God. The reason for this is that, as His Majesty dwells substantially in the soul, where neither angel nor devil can attain to an understanding of that which comes to pass, they cannot know the intimate and secret communications which take place there between the soul and God. These communications, since the Lord Himself works them, are wholly divine and sovereign, for they are all substantial touches of divine union between the soul and God, in one of which the soul receives a greater blessing than in all the rest, since this is the loftiest degree, 291, of prayer in existence. 12. For these are the touches that the bride entreated of him in the song, saying, Oscule turme osculo orisui, 292. Since this is a thing which takes place in such close intimacy with God, whereto the soul desires with such yearnings to attain, it esteems and longs for a touch of this divinity more than all the other favors that God grants it. Wherefore, after many such favors have been granted to the bride in the said songs, of which she has sung therein, she is not satisfied, but entreats him for these divine touches, saying, Who shall give thee to me, my brother, that I might find thee alone without, sucking the breasts of my mother, so that I might kiss thee with the mouth of my soul, and that thus no man should despise me, or make bold to attack me. 293. By this she denotes the communication which God himself alone makes to her, as we are saying, far from all the creatures and without their knowledge, for this is meant by alone and without, sucking, etc., that is, drying up and draining the breasts of the desires and affections of the sensual part of the soul. This takes place when the soul in intimate peace and delight has fruition of these blessings, with liberty of spirit, and without the sensual part being able to hinder it, or the devil to thwart it by means thereof, and then the devil would not make bold to attack it, for he would not reach it. Neither could he attain to an understanding of these divine touches in the substance of the soul in the loving substance of God. 13. To this blessing none attains save through intimate purgation and detachment and spiritual concealment from all that is creature. It comes to pass in the darkness, as we have already explained at length and as we say with respect to this line. The soul is in concealment and in hiding, in the which hiding place, as we have now said, it continues to be strengthened in union with God through love, wherefore it sings this in the same phrase, saying, In darkness and in concealment. 14. When it comes to pass that those favors are granted to the soul in concealment, that is, as we have said, in spirit only, the soul is wont, during some of them, and without knowing how this comes to pass, to see itself so far withdrawn and separated according to the higher and spiritual part, from the sensual and lower portion, that it recognizes in itself two parts so distinct from each other that it believes that the one has naught to do with the other, but that the one is very remote and far withdrawn from the other. And in reality, in a certain way, this is so, for the operation is now wholly spiritual, and the soul receives no communication in its sensual part. In this way the soul gradually becomes wholly spiritual, and in this hiding place of unitive contemplation its spiritual desires and passions are to a great degree removed and purged away. And thus, speaking of its higher part, the soul then says in this last line, My house being now at rest. 294. Chapter 24. Completes the explanation of the second stanza. This is as much as to say, The higher portion of my soul being like the lower part also, at rest with respect to its desires and faculties, I went forth to the divine union of the love of God. 2. Inasmuch as, by means of that war of the dark night, as has been said, the soul is combated and purged after two manners, namely, according to its sensual and its spiritual part, with its senses, faculties, and passions, so likewise after two manners, namely, according to these two parts, the sensual and the spiritual, with all its faculties and desires, the soul attains to an enjoyment of peace and rest. For this reason, as has likewise been said, the soul twice pronounces this line, namely, 295 in this stanza and in the last, because of these two portions of the soul, the spiritual and the sensual, which, in order that they may go forth to the divine union of love, must needs first be reformed, ordered, and tranquilized with respect to the sensual, and to the spiritual, according to the nature of the state of innocence which was Adam's. 296, and thus this line, which in the first stanza was understood of the repose of the lower and sensual portion, is, in this second stanza, understood more particularly of the higher and spiritual part, for which reason it is repeated. 297. 3. This repose and quiet of this spiritual house the soul comes to attain, habitually and perfectly, in so far as the condition of this life allows, by means of the acts of the substantial touches of divine union whereof we have just spoken, which in concealment and hidden from the perturbation of the devil and of its own senses and passions, the soul has been receiving from the divinity, wherein it has been purifying itself, as I say, resting, strengthening and confirming itself in order to be able to receive the said union once and for all, which is the divine betrothal between the soul and the Son of God. As soon as these two houses of the soul have together become tranquilized and strengthened, with all their domestics, namely the faculties and desires, and have put these domestics to sleep and made them to be silent with respect to all things, both above and below, this divine wisdom immediately unites itself with the soul by making a new bond of loving possession, and there is fulfilled that which is written in the Book of Wisdom, in these words, Dum quietum silentium continueret omnia, et nox in suo cursum medium iter haberet, omnipotens sermotus domine a regalibus sedibus. 298. The same thing is described by the bride in the songs, 299, where she says that, after she had passed by those who stripped her of her mantle by night and wounded her, she found him whom her soul loved. 4. The soul cannot come to this union without great purity, and this purity is not gained without great detachment from every created thing and sharp mortification. This is signified by the stripping of the bride of her mantle and by her being wounded by night as she sought and went after the spouse, for the new mantle which belonged to the betrothal could not be put on until the old mantle was stripped off. Wherefore, he that refuses to go forth in the night aforementioned to seek the beloved, and to be stripped of his own will and to be mortified, but seeks him upon his bed and at his own convenience, as did the bride, 300 will not succeed in finding him. For this soul says of itself that it found him by going forth in the dark and with yearnings of love. Chapter 25. Wherein is expounded the third stanza. In the happy night, in secret, when none saw me, nor I beheld aught, without light or guide, save that which burned in my heart. Exposition. The soul still continues the metaphor and similitude of temporal night in describing this its spiritual night, and continues to sing and extol the good properties which belong to it, and which in passing through this night it found and used, to the end that it might attain its desired goal with speed and security. Of these properties it here sets down 3, 2. The first, it says, is that in this happy night of contemplation God leads the soul by a manner of contemplation so solitary and secret, so remote and far distant from sense, that naught pertaining to it, nor any touch of created things, succeeds in approaching the soul in such a way as to disturb it and detain it on the road of the union of love. 3. The second property whereof it speaks pertains to the spiritual darkness of this night, wherein all the faculties of the higher part of the soul are in darkness. The soul sees naught, neither looks at aught, neither stays in aught that is not God, to the end that it may reach him, inasmuch as it journeys unimpeded by obstacles of forms and figures, and of natural apprehensions, which are those that are wont to hinder the soul from uniting with the eternal being of God. 4. The third is that, although as it journeys it is supported by no particular interior light of understanding, nor by any exterior guide, that it may receive satisfaction therefrom on this lofty road, it is completely deprived of all this by this thick darkness. Yet its love alone, which burns at this time, and makes its heart to long for the beloved, is that which now moves and guides it, and makes it to soar upward to its God along the road of solitude without its knowing how or in what manner. There follows the line, in the happy night 301.